1. 15 years later. Being an overachiever sucked, Abby O'Brien Winters concluded as she crawled into bed after midnight, mentally and physically exhausted after a roller coaster day on Wall Street. She'd managed about 20 minutes of quality time with her twin daughters before they'd fallen asleep, barely into the opening paragraph of The Velveteen Rabbit. She'd eaten warmed-over Chinese takeout for the third straight night, then pulled out a half-dozen voluminous market analysts' reports she needed to absorb before the stock exchange opened in the morning. Her bedtime reading was a lot more challenging than what Caitlin and Carrie chose. She was good at her job as a portfolio manager for a major brokerage company, but so far it had cost her a marriage to a great guy who'd tired of playing second fiddle to her career, and more sleep than she could possibly calculate. Though she shared custody of the twins with Wes, she often felt as if she was barely acquainted with her 5-year-old daughters. It sometimes seemed as if they spent more time with the nanny, and even her ex-husband, than they did with her. She'd long since lost sight of exactly what she was trying to prove and to whom. When the phone rang, Abby glanced at the clock and groaned. At this hour, it could only be an emergency. Heart thudding, she reached for the receiver. "Abby, it's me," her sister Jessica announced. Jess was the youngest of the 5 O'Brien siblings and the real night owl among them. Abby stayed up late because it was the only way to cram enough work into a 24-hour day. Jess did it because she was just starting to hit her stride when the moon and stars came out. "I called earlier, but the nanny said you weren't home yet. Then I got distracted with a project I'm working on. I hope it's not too late. I know you're usually up till all hours." "It's fine," Abby assured her. "Is everything okay? You sound stressed. Is something going on with Graham? Or Dad?" "Graham's amazing. She'll outlive us all. And Dad is off someplace building something. I can't keep track of him." "He was in California last week," Abby recalled. "Then I guess he's still there. You know he has to oversee every single detail when one of his projects is being built. Of course, then he loses interest, just the way he did with Chesapeake Shores." There was an unsurprising note of bitterness in Jess's voice. As the youngest of 5, she, more than the rest of them, had missed spending time with their dad. Mick O'Brien had already been making a name for himself as an architect and urban planner when he'd designed and built Chesapeake Shores, a now-famous seaside community on the Chesapeake Bay. He'd done it in partnership with his brothers, one a builder, the other an environmentalist. The town had been built around land that had been farmed by Colin O'Brien, a great-great-uncle and the first of the O'Briens to arrive from Ireland in the late 1800s. It was to be the crown jewel in Mick's body of work and the idyllic place his family would call home. It hadn't turned out that way. Mick and his brothers had fought over the construction, battled over environmental issues, and even over the preservation of the few falling down historic buildings on some of the property. Eventually, they'd dissolved the partnership. Now, even though they all coexisted in or near Chesapeake Shores, they seldom spoke, except on holidays, when Graham insisted on a pretense of family harmony. Abby's mother, Megan, had lived in New York since she and Mick had divorced 15 years ago. Though the plan had been for all of the children to move to New York with her, for reasons Abby had never understood, that hadn't happened. They'd stayed in Chesapeake Shores with their mostly absent dad and Graham. In recent years, one by one, they had drifted away, except for Jess, who seemed to have a love-hate relationship with the town and with Mick. Since moving to New York herself after college, Abby had reestablished a strong bond with her mother, but none of the others had done the same. And not just Jess, but all 5 of them had an uneasy relationship with their father. It was Graham, who'd been only a girl when her family had followed their O'Brien predecessors to Maryland,